would you like to overcome loss or grief? Brenda Munt will tell us how to do this, and she's a grief recovery method specialist based in West Bend, Wisconsin, and she helps individuals move through grief with compassion, authenticity, and evidence-based support. And after losing her husband, best friend, and soulmate in September 2021, Brenda was drawn to the grief recovery method during her own season of heartbreak and healing, and that experience gave her practical tools to navigate loss and inspired her to help others find relief, hope, and emotional healing after life-changing loss, including the loss of a spouse or beloved pet. So, Brenda, tell us about how can someone overcome a difficult moment like a loss or grief?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
So everybody's journey is different, first of all, you know, because and some for like me, I lost a husband. I had one of my friends that she 9 months prior to that, she had lost her husband, who actually happened to be my husband's best friend. And, you know, they were married longer than what her and what him and I were. So, but our losses were complete, even though they were both spouses, but because our relationship was different, you know, the loss was very different, you know, because me looking at her, she seemed to be handling it much better than what I had handled the loss of my husband. And the probably the biggest thing is, you know, just realizing that everybody's journey is different. And people, I don't feel like society does a very good job of talking about grief, because I think everybody gets like really super uncomfortable with it, and they don't know how to talk about it or and be, because they try to say all the right things when a lot of times they're making the griever feel worse than feeling better, even though they mean very well. So, and I think people need to, when they're ready, because when you lose somebody that you love and that loss is really fresh, to try and immediately move forward from that is very overwhelming. Like, it doesn't even seem possible right away. Because I mean, I know for me, it took a few months before I could even think about, you know, trying to do something to help myself. And but I mean, when I did, I mean, I knew that I needed to, because I was had been struggling, you know, for like 4 months, and my mind was not in a good place whatsoever. And I'm like, I needed to do something to help myself move forward. So just know, I think people need to understand and know that it's whatever your pace is your pace, you know, that there's no right or wrong. And for me, it was really kind of stepping through, like I said, the grief recovery method program that I went through was super helpful on dealing with that first initial pain that I was dealing with after I had lost my husband. Because, you know, when he had gotten sick and he was taken to the ER, literally kind of ripped away from me, and I was not able to be in the hospital. It was during COVID, and in 11 days he was gone. And so those initial of the, you know, not having to had a chance to say goodbye, or not being able to, you know, the no kisses, the no hugs, the no more anniversaries, vacations, nothing, and just all kind of ripped away from me. So going through the grief recovery method program really helped me process all of that. And while it has a certain method to it, first of all, it kind of educates us on some of the myths of grief. And one of them is, you know, with all the people of all the things, some of the people don't say all the right things, because they'll make comments about, like, you know, it's like if you've lost somebody, how often has somebody said to you, like, oh, they're in a better place? You know, like, that's like the last thing that somebody wants to hear, is that they just lost their loved one. They're like, no, they're not in a better place. I want them here with me, you know? And so people not being able to say the right things, even though that they mean well. And then I know the other thing is too, how they talk about like the stages of grief. And when people bring that up to me, there's kind of like, well, yeah, you have the stages of grief. And it just kind of, it's one of those things that make me want to cringe. Because the stages of grief, you know, there's the anger, the denial, there's all that. But I don't, when I talk to people, I'd like, I said, just kind of take that, the stages of grief with a grain of salt, you know, because it's like they lead you to believe that you're going to go through one stage, and then once you're past that stage, then you're going to go on to the next stage, and they make it appear like, or allude to, that there's an end to it. And when there's not, you know, because you can literally go from like one stage to the other stage to the, you can jump to the fifth stage, back to the first stage, and it can be like all over the place. So it's kind of like, yeah, you're going to feel a lot of those emotions and everything, but they don't really go in stages, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Tell me about what would be the first thing that someone can do to deal with grief personally. Like, what would you do first? Like, I can't imagine what you would do.
Because when I had, and again, like it goes back to, it's like it's going to be different for everybody on what feels right for them. And because when we go through a loss, there's so much that's thrown at us right away. You know, it's like planning the funeral, and depending upon your circumstances, you might have to deal with a lot of things. You know, you have all the legality, all the legal part that you need to deal with. Because there's so much of that is so very overwhelming, and that's stuff that all needs to be dealt with. And so, I mean, especially if it's a spouse, I mean, and once in a while, even a parent, you know, if you're like the trustee and that you're handling your parents' affairs, you know, all that is, that person is responsible for all that. It's kind of like, we almost feel like we don't even have time to grieve at that point in the journey because it's too early on. And, but once they're able to get to a point where they're ready to be like, okay, I'm kind of, this has calmed down a little bit, and I'm kind of like ready to move, ready to work on myself and help myself. I would say the one thing would be kind of like determine if you feel like you can manage this on your own. And if you can't, definitely seek out for help. And there's so much out there. I mean, whether you could go to, you know, some free counseling group at your church. My concern about that would be I did not do anything like that because the one thing I was afraid of from what I've heard from other people is it's a group of people, you know, grievers, and they keep reliving the situation. They keep reliving the loss. So yeah, it's helpful to talk about it and everything, but at some point in time, you need to also take steps to figure out how to start moving forward from that loss. So kind of figuring out what resonates with you, you know, whether it be, you know, like working with somebody like me going through the Grief Recovery Method program, or even I do breath work, which has been a huge part of my journey and helping me, you know, get through the loss. And whether it's that, or if you, again, depending upon the you know, the situation, you might need to seek, you know, a counselor, somebody that's more licensed in the matter. So just finding that person that you feel comfortable with. And if you meet with one person and it doesn't feel right, the biggest thing is like, just don't feel like, okay, I'm just gonna have to try and deal with this on my own. Continue seeking for those other, continue going on the path of trying to find somebody that you feel comfortable with and you feel safe with to have conversations with and to go through this process with. So the key thing is like really is finding that individual that you resonate with and that you feel comfortable and safe with and working with and having conversations with. That is the biggest thing. And whatever, because like there's so many, there's grief counselors, there's grief therapists, there's grief recovery method specialists like myself. So there's so many different aspects that people can look into. It's a matter of just finding that person and that whatever program is that they offer to make sure that that resonates with you. And then even if you start out with one, and if that doesn't, that helps you to a point, but then you still feel like you're stuck and you're not moving forward, then continue seeking. But all I ask is I just don't kind of throw in the towel and be like, okay, I need to deal with this on my own, because there's so many resources out there for grievers, you know, for though, you know, to help people. So that's probably the biggest thing where I would say is where to start is like when you feel ready, find that person. And the other thing too is also find your support people around you, because that is so very important. It's kind of like find those people that even if it's one person, two people, that when you're having those moments that you just really need to, even if it's somebody to be on the other end of the phone with you and like, can you just kind of be present with me while I'll sit here and sob, you know? And just to have that person know that, you know, somebody is kind of there with you. So having your support system is huge, is absolutely huge. And having your safe people that you can lean on, you know, when you're having those days where you're kind of like, you know, like, hey, do you have like an hour that you can just come sit with me because I'm just having a really hard time today.
Thank you. My mom's husband, let me think, which husband? Her third husband. My mom's had four husbands, okay? Not all at the same time. I know it's not funny, but she was intending to have only one, but it just didn't pan out this way. But anyway, my mom's third husband, unfortunately, he died of cancer.
Oh.
But basically, in the run-up to his death, we kind of found out some things about him that were not so pleasant. We kind of knew that he was going to die, but it was, like a very sad thing when he actually did die. And one thing that we did that I actually think helped my mom a lot with the suffering and the pain that she experienced right after was that me and my ex-boyfriend, we went to her house and we repainted the entire house for like 2, 3 days. And I found that was really, really helpful because although like we were crying the entire time, but I felt that doing that change of scene, doing that like immediate freshening up of the environment, I really think that it helped her, and I think it helped me as well to cope with it. And that was like a one interesting thing that kind of re I really helped. I really think it helped. And the other thing is his family was all. I don't want to sound disrespectful, but they were all like a bunch of specimens. What I mean by that is they were all like looking very weird. Like if you looked at them separately, you would think, every person needs to be put in a lab because they looked very strange, I found that to be like a funny thing. So, I mean, I don't know if you find this weird, but sometimes you can find something like so funny at funerals. And I mean, there was something else that that's like a separate thing, okay? So my grandpa died a few, I mean, many, many years ago. But the thing is that my dad only introduced him to me one time before he died. And I think they introduced him to me, I mean, he introduced him to me just because he knew that he was gonna pass. So like I met him one time with with all the different cousins that I have. Maybe I have like 18 or 20 cousins. And that was like a really fun thing, like meeting all the different cousins for the first time at around 18 years old. And then the second time I saw him, he was dead, unfortunately. And I mean, of course, everyone was crying, everyone was sad. But for me, because like I had just met him, like one time, I really, I don't know, found a way to like connect with all the different cousins. And it was just a very strange thing that there was like a good thing that happened at the funeral, like because I think if he hadn't died, I would never have met my cousins, And then the other thing that was a little bit strange, I'm not sure if you're religious at all, but the day that he actually died, around the time that he died, an icon of Saint Mary that was on my wall, it actually fell, and I instantly felt something wrong had happened. And I think what had happened is that he was kind of visiting all of us for the last time. And I'm not sure
Wow.
if you believe in this kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I got worries.
Yeah, but I think that's what happened. And I instantly knew something wrong had happened. And then when I found out in the morning that he had died, like I just kind of like knew that it was him. Although I wasn't trained in this kind of it's just like something that I intuitively knew. And anyway, so coming back to the thing, what I'm saying is that sometimes you can be in the utmost grief and still find like a teeny thing that can make you laugh. And it could be something that was really fun about the person, or it could be something fun about the situation, like in the case with the my mom's ex-husband. I mean, there was something very funny about all the different family members that kind of really snapped me out of the sadness just for one tiny second, and then I was kind of like back to sadness. But I think there's always something funny at funerals that can kind of pull you out temporarily. Do you agree with this, or
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree with it. I think it's really, I wish more people would share more fun stories about their loved one. Like if they, so like in my case, which thankfully a lot of them did. I mean, they were the ones that kind of like, like, oh, what happened? Kind of, that whole piece of it, where that part is very hard because it makes you kind of relive everything again. But when somebody doesn't ask you those questions, but instead they share with you, it's like, other than, yeah, I'm so sorry for your loss, give you the hug and everything, but then share just a happy moment about that individual, takes that heavy situation and makes it lighter. And because it's like, Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately, I mean, death is something that we're all going to be having to deal with and go through. It's like something we can't escape, you know? And I think we're getting better at it, on focusing more on celebrating the person's life. You know, when we have like the so-called funeral or the celebration of life, whatever you want to call it. But even just like the people that are coming in to meet with, you know, the family, the other loved one, the surviving people, and then just share those happy moments, because that really makes a big difference on, you know, the ones that were in close contact with that person, you know, whether it be, you know, sibling, spouse, whatever it was. But sharing those fun stories, those happy moments with that person, that takes you out of that grief, that sadness, and then just kind of gives you that little bit of lightness and brings that smile to your face, because they did something that made somebody really happy and brought joy to them, and now they're sharing that joy with you. And because I know when people did that for me, you know, with my husband, even after between the funeral and then even after he passed, and even yet to this day, you know, every once in a while, they'll still bring up stories that I haven't heard. And it brings me, you know, so much joy hearing those fun stories. So, yeah.
Thank you. So tell us about what are the right things someone could say when another person is grieving? Because I don't think anybody knows. So that's why they're like trying all sorts of things that actually upset people. What would you have liked to hear from people, for example, that would have made things a little bit better for you?
You know this, you know how they always say once in a while, less is more? And this is almost kind of that situation where it's just probably the simplest thing you can say to somebody is like, I am so very sorry for your loss. And just give them that hug, you know, let them, you know, just embrace them and let them feel that, let them feel connected and feel held and feel safe. Because right now, when we lose somebody, we don't feel safe. We are so vulnerable and so broken that having those hugs help us feel safe. But then just letting them know it's like, hey, I'm like so sorry for your loss. And then sharing those joyful moments instead of always like, oh, well, what happened? If they don't know what happened, oh, it's like, what happened? Now you're bringing them back downward because now you're making them relive those sad moments. And if you say like, hey, if there's anything that I can do, or, you know, something like when you say something, if there's anything I can do, just reach out. So many people say that, but then they never follow up. Because I can tell you that, like, the person that's grieving, because they're going through so much, they're not going to reach back out because they're going to feel like they're bothering the person. So it's like those people that say, you know, hey, I'm here for, even says, I'm here for you. That's great to say that. But if you say it, make sure that you mean it. You know, and then reach out to that person, give them a call, shoot them a text. If it's even something, just a text takes you a couple of minutes saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. How are you holding up? Don't say, how are you doing? To say, how are you holding up? I have learned to rephrase that, because it's like, how are you doing? It's like, well, how do you think I'm doing? I just lost my husband. You know, I lost my soulmate. Of course, I'm not doing fine. And just be like, how are you holding up? And just giving them that, you know, that space to be heard and to be seen and to be held. And just kind of don't overdo it. Just don't avoid. Probably the biggest thing I say is like the avoid. It's like, do not say they're in a better place. Do not say, like, if you lost a child, well, just be grateful that you have three other ones. That's like the last thing a parent wants to hear. Because one of my friends, she had lost her daughter a couple months before I lost my husband. And somebody had actually said that to her. She's like, oh, well, just be grateful that you have two other sons, because she had lost her daughter. And that was like the last thing she wanted to hear, you know. And then, or even like a parent, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, well, they were old, they had their time here on earth. It's like, you know, people don't want to hear that. So just keep it really simple. Keep it really simple. Just say, I am so sorry for your loss, and give them a hug.
Thank you. Tell me about what you think about this joke that I made. So my ex-boyfriend's mother died recently, and she was a heavy smoker, you know, and I stayed with her for the summer in 2024. And she smoked maybe 30 cigarettes, and she was always smoking at night, like after midnight. So with my door open and everything, like she would literally smoke me out, you know, when the window open. And so what I was saying was, of course, after, you know, saying like, I'm sorry for your loss and, you know, all of these different things, I just said like, I don't think she will stay up there for too long because she's going to smoke out old angels and they'll send her right back.
That's funny.
I also said, because, I mean, she was a very bossy woman. And I said, can you imagine, she'll tell everyone what to do and they're not going to like that. So they'll definitely send her right back.
I mean, and I don't, stuff like that, I feel, because I mean, I don't know, the person or anything, but to me that I think it also probably depends upon the person, that you're saying it to, and if they kind of have a sense of humor and are light about the situation. Because I mean, I could see where that could probably lighten the moment, because I found it humorous and I didn't even know the person, because I mean, I think if somebody, because I know, like, people, when my mom passed away, people made comments about, oh yeah, she's probably up there, telling people what to do and stuff like that. And we laughed about it, or she's up there kind of, I'm trying to think some of the, because when she, the assisted living facility that she lived in, she was kind of like the organizer. She was like up in everybody's business. And so people kind of made, and even ourselves, we kind of made comments about that. We're like, oh yeah, I'm sure she's up there, in everybody's business. And we found it humorous because it was true, So something like that. I mean, I think it probably depends upon how you feel the person might take it. If they have a sense of humor, might find it funny. So that's my thoughts on it anyway. So like I said, when people make comments like that about our mom, and we found it humorous because we're like, oh yeah, you're right.
Thank you. Tell me about, what are some great activities for someone to do so they can come out, snap out of a rut while grieving? Because I think, although I can't think of like any particular that has, been lingering on my mind and, been like a really, really painful thing that I've kind of had to kind of go through for a long, long time. But I find that, for example, when someone left me, that is like a grief that I have definitely experienced.
Yeah.
And I remember the pain of that. It's like there's depression, there's a feeling of like not wanting to do anything, and even things that generally give you joy, you don't feel like doing those. And even, let's say, dancing or walking or swimming, or it feels like there's no joy in that. But somehow I find that when there's someone that is in a worse pain than you, like, for example, I discovered that there was another lady that had much worse situation, that she had a much worse situation than mine, and she was even more depressed than me. I was like trying to cheer her up, and in the process I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling so much better. And I was still like trying to dance and trying to walk and so on, but it kind of didn't really feel like I was shaking off the pain. The pain was still heavily there. But would you say are there any like routines or activities someone could do to kind of feel at least temporarily a little bit better?
For me, it was like finding the things that made life normal again. And for me, that was my workouts. But I also, I totally understand just kind of wanting to hide out at home and just kind of ignore everything around you and just be like, I'm just going to hunker down here and just kind of disregard whatever else is going on in the world. But then you might as well just check yourself out, because it's that's no life to live, So, I mean, for me, it's like, I did try to find those things that would bring me joy and that made me feel better. Necessarily didn't want to do them, but I forced myself to do them. But for me, the biggest thing is, because I am all about nature, walking, being by water, it's like, find something, even if it's one thing, find that one thing that will bring you peace and will bring you joy. And even though you might not necessarily do it, make yourself do it, even if it's for 5 minutes. Because if you're the type of person that, where just being by water kind of brings you peace and brings you calm, go find water, whether it be a river, a lake, a waterfall, ocean, depending upon where you live. Just spend some time and just sit there and just breathe and just listen to the water and just be present and just be in that moment. And so it's like, I mean, a lot of times I had to force myself to do things that I didn't want to do. And I'm glad that I did. Because once I got into it, once I started doing it, whether it be for a walk or going by the water and all that, I'm just like, oh man, I'm like, I feel so much better. I'm so glad that I did this. And I love dancing. But when I found a song that was very moving, and then I found open space in my house, and I just closed my eyes and I just listened to the music, and I let my body move however it freely wanted to move. And I really felt the song and the movement, and I just let my body do whatever I wanted to do. That was like so therapeutic. I felt really awkward at first, but I'm kind of like, you know what? I'm in my house here by myself. Nobody's watching me, you know? And when I did that and just kind of let my body drape and fall and do whatever it wanted to do and whatever it needed to do. And that was so therapeutic. So it's just like really find that thing or those things that you did enjoy. And if even it makes you a little bit uncomfortable, try doing them anyway. And give yourself at least 15 minutes. Give yourself, don't try for like about a minute and you're like, okay, this isn't working, I'm done. Give yourself a little bit of time, kind of get into a little bit and just put yourself in that moment, and then just take that time to really be present and just breathe through things. But unfortunately, once in a while, we need to do things that we don't want to just to get ourselves out of that rut. At least I know that's how it was for me.
Thank you. For me, I find that crying a little bit and then kind of like playing music after that really helps me. And there's certain songs that you cannot help but feel good listening. For example, like I Feel Good by James Brown. It's like, I don't know, kind of, it's a bit electrifying, that song. And what I find is that it puts me into this almost like this trance where I am like just feeling really great. And then I start jumping around, and then although the emotional pain is still there, but it's like I feel almost like I am drunk with joy, and it's a temporary feeling, right? Because a little bit later, when the excitement kind of wears off, I'm sad again. But I find that music can be a great mood shifter and can offer some temporary relief as well. Do you have like any particular songs or any particular music that feels like it's uplifting you in moments of sadness and depression and grief?
I kind of go in fluctuations, you know, because I'm a big country music person, and my late husband loved Jason Aldean. There's nothing more soothing to me. It's because in my garage I have, you know, things. He was a big Arctic cat. He's a big snowmobiler. So I have his flags, his banners up on the wall, all of his hats up on the wall, and I have a plaque out there for him and everything, and a stereo. And so I kind of call it his man cave because it's a lot of his stuff that I have hanging up in memory of him. And for me, it was very therapeutic. And I would sit out there, I would turn the stereo on, and I'd sit in my lawn chair, and I would turn on Jason Aldean. And it just brought me so much joy because I had all of his Arctic cat belongings around me, and then listening to Jason Aldean, some of his favorite songs, and it just brought me joy. So it really depends. So I mean, that brought me joy. But then I also like the upbeat, the fun music that just kind of makes me bebop around and all that. So it depends on whatever I'm in the mood for. But music has definitely helped me so very much. And the thing is too, it's like one thing that I've noticed is, yeah, you have those when you're doing something like that and it brings you joy and you're feeling good, but then all of a sudden it's like you feel like this guilt creeping in because you're like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling happy, I shouldn't be feeling joyful because I just lost my husband, and then the guilt kind of consumes you know. But then I've learned over time that the two can coexist. We can still be happy, we can still be joyful and be happy, but still have that loss and that grief to still kind of sitting there waiting for it, but it's giving us a break while we have our happy moment over here. So the two can coexist.
Thank you. Did you ha ever find any relief in thinking about what you can now do because he's not here? Like, I don't know. Let's say, I think in a very kind of weird way, let's say if I had a husband and he died, I would probably, of course, I would be sad for a lo really long time, but then I would be think about all the annoying things he used to do. And like, I don't know, like shouting or leave his socks on the floor. And I don't know. And then perhaps I would find a way to kind of start talking to him and say, you know, you're not leaving your socks here anymore. And therefore, I now can do this or can do that. I don't know. I'd find a way to be a little bit kind of playful, either like talking to him, like pretending like he's here, or I would think about, okay, so now because you're not here, I can do all the annoying things that you dislike. Like, I don't know. And then I would kind of think about, well, I don't know. Did you ever find any relief in that kind of?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I do talk to my husband. You know, it's been a little bit over 4 years, but I still talk to him. I mean, I have his ashes here with me, and I have his picture and everything. And so I say good morning to him. I say good night to him. And if I'm dealing with something and I need to talk it through, I'm like, why are you not here so I can talk to you through this? I'm like, come on, you know. And I'm like, give me some kind of sign. And I mean, I'll talk things through, even though obviously he's not responding. I'm just kind of hoping he gives me some kind of sign. But and the thing is, it's like so much of what I'm doing now. I mean, I still work my full-time job, but everything additional that I'm doing on top of outside of that is because I lost him. It's like I started my own podcast because I lost him. I had got into grief recovery method and breath work because I lost him. And now I'm turning around helping other people. And now I actually am a contributing author to a book. And my chapter within that book is a glimpse of a little small tiny piece of my story of losing my husband. So much of what I'm doing now is because I lost him. And while when that, probably the one time, I shouldn't say probably, the one time that it hit me the hardest was I had a group of 8 people here at my house and I had guided them through a breathwork journey. And the results that everybody felt from it was like amazing. Everybody's kind of like, they just had found so much benefit from it. And I was just on this high. And I'm like, oh my God, this went so great. Everybody benefited from it. They absolutely loved it. And the next morning I was still on that high and I'm getting ready for work. And then it hit me. And also I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I would not be doing this if he were still here. And the guilt consumed me. I spiraled downward and my mind would just not stop on it all day long. I reached out to my safe people and I'm like, hey, I need to unload this and I need somebody to help me process this because I'm not in a good place right now mentally. And so the couple people that I had reached out to said a couple things to me and I'm kind of like, I'm like, okay. I'm like, that helped a little bit. And then, but none of what they said didn't really register until I got home. And then I'm talking to them and then it hit me that I'm like, this is a gift you gave me from the other side. And doing that reframe is what helped me. But going along with what you said about kind of finding those silly little things about leaving the clothes lay around, my husband was famous for that. There was a chair in the house. Instead of putting his clothes in the hamper or something like that, he would dump them on the back of a chair. It drove me mad. And I'm like, well, at least I don't have to deal with the clothes hanging on the back of a chair. And for me, one thing is like in the morning, because it's just me and my cats, he would always turn the TV on in the morning while we're getting ready for work and have the news on and whatnot. In the morning, I turn on my music, whether it be Pandora, Spotify, whatever station I want to listen to. And I have my music blaring in my house while I'm getting ready for work. And I absolutely love it. Yeah. So I totally understand where you're coming from. I totally can relate to it.
Thank you. How can someone turn guilt into pleasure when they are trying to overcome loss or grief? Because I'm thinking that the way I would think about it is like, he wouldn't want me to be sad in this world. Like, especially after being elevated to new dimensions, he would be like an elevated person for sure. He would want me to have fun. And that's how I would think of it. Like, he wouldn't want me to have even like one day of grief. That's, I don't know. How would you help people to overcome loss and grief and the guilt of it and turn it into, you know what, I'm entitled to live my life.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know, the one other thing that helped me is, and keeps me going, is I tell myself, I'm like, I'm living life that he was denied, you know, and that really helps me. So, I mean, I've stepped outside of my comfort zone. He was big into traveling. He loved to travel. It's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't like all the hassle of having to pack up and all this kind of stuff. You know, I was very much a homebody, but I have over the past, three, four years, I've stepped outside of my comfort zone and I started doing more traveling and going to places that he had been to that I hadn't been to and was looking at it through his eyes. You know, so those things like that really helped me. And I just keep reminding myself, I'm like, no, I'm still here. And I know he would want me to be happy. And he wants me to do these things. He wants me to live life. And I keep telling, I go back what I just said. It's like, I keep telling myself, I'm not only living life for me, but I'm living life for him as well, because he was denied that life, that longer life. And for me, that was a big thing.
Thank you. How can someone overcome the denial that they might feel for a while when overcoming loss or grief?
Oof. I'm not even sure how to answer that, because I don't know that I really experienced that, or even really kind of dealt with anybody that experienced that. Yeah, I'm not really sure how to answer that one. I mean, if they're in the denial, that because it's just, the facts are the facts. You know, I mean, I just kind of say it that way, you know, but they're, when they're gone. But if they're having that hard of a time, then I would say there's something else underlying, and you might want to kind of reach out to maybe a professional to help process that. Because, yeah, I honestly don't know how to answer that question.
Thank you. Tell me, how would someone deal with the initial shock that they have when a loss?
Oh, God. There's just, I would say, whatever emotions that you're feeling, just feel them. Don't try to stuff them down. Because I think some people try to be strong and like maybe not want to cry and stuff like that. But it's like, whatever you're feeling, let your body feel it. Your body needs to release those emotions of whatever you're feeling. Because trying to stuff them down is only hurting ourselves. And so it's just like, just feel whatever you need to feel. And don't, I mean, even if you need to, if you don't feel comfortable crying in front of somebody, I've spent many times crying in my car, or even at work, I was on the verge of tears. I would hightail it into the bathroom and I would stand in the stall and I would cry, because I just needed to release those emotions, because keeping them stuffed down was not serving me at all.
Thank you. Why do people feel pressure to move on from grief?
I honestly, my personal opinion, I think it's society. I think a lot of it is the pressure from society. People sit there saying like, get, you know, okay, it's been a year now. It's like, get over it. It just doesn't. Then I would say those people that say that, it's like they haven't experienced a deep loss, because they don't understand how it feels when you lose somebody that deeply that you love. Because you just, loss isn't something you can just get over. Yeah, move forward from, yes, I do believe that. But just get over it, because the loss is always going to be there. You know, it's never going to go away. It's finding out what's going to work for you to be able to help yourself move forward from it.
Thank you. How can someone provide support for another person that is grieving? Like, what specific thing would you do?
Definitely reach out to them from time to time and just see how they're doing. Like I said, even if it's a quick text message. Even another really good thing, I'm sharing this because it was somebody I just recently had on my podcast, and granted the episode hasn't been released yet. There's a lady that I had recently interviewed. She has a company called Timely Presence, and it was the coolest idea. And I think it would be so super helpful for people, because what it is she, right now she has four different packages that she offers. And it's like, for like, if you lost like a family or friend, if we're losing a parent, a spouse, or an unborn child, and what the other person can do. So like, if somebody was doing it for me, so say like my sisters, if they were doing it for me, they would go to this lady's, her website, buy the package for the spouse, and they would give them, you know, give them specific dates and all that. And what they do is that during certain times, like at least four different times throughout the year, they just send this package to the griever, and it just appears at their doorstep. And that is just something that is such a beautiful way to support somebody without having to, you know, that feels really, it helps you make something that can be awkward less awkward. Just kind of giving them those little things as memory gifts, as memory tokens that they can hold on to. Because I felt that when she shared that with me, I felt those gifts were like so nice. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, that must be amazing to, you know, so one day you come home and also you get this package from somebody completely unexpected that has this beautiful wind chime in it. And it's like, oh my God, it's like they thought of me, you know? So that's definitely one thing. So I do have to give a plug to Timely Presence, because she founded this in just this past February, and I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So that's one thing. But, yeah, like I said, the other thing is just reaching out to them and just be there for them. And once in a while, if they say, if somebody says that they, and I, if somebody says that they're fine or like they don't need your help or their support or anything like that, don't believe them. Once in a while, I think we need to like force ourselves upon people and be like, and to say, you know, hey, you know what? I have a half hour this afternoon, or I have an hour this Saturday or whatever. I'm going to come over and I want to spend some time with you. So just let you know I'm on my way, kind of thing. It's kind of just be there for them. And just like what I said earlier, don't say that, hey, I'm here for you if I need you, and not show up for them. So yeah, just be supportive and be there. And like I said, even if it's just a matter of sitting with them and just listening.
And tell me how someone would overcome the anger they feel when they are trying to overcome loss or grief. Should you be taking like a boxing class or?
Oh, that, well, yes, it's funny that you say that because I actually teach a kickboxing class.
Or should they be breaking plates like in Greek weddings, you know, or?
Well, that was not funny that you said that, because I would say exercise was huge for me, because it was a physical way to just kind of be able to release things. Because I was angry that I lost my husband to COVID. I mean, I was mad. And, but yeah, so I mean, for me, I felt exercise was very, very helpful. And I do kickboxing as well. So that was very helpful as well. Yeah. And the other thing is they have, and I don't know where they all have them, but I know we have them here in Wisconsin, but they have like these, I think they call them smash rooms. Like you can specifically go to someplace and like, just like smash things, smash plates and whatever. And that is another, I think if you're angry, that's just a really good place. If you have one near you, a really good place to take it out.
For me, the thing that is has been quite useful, like I remember one time one guy cheated on me, and although he didn't die, you know, but it was still like a personal loss, you know, like losing him. So what I did, he gifted me this really big bibelot, you know, it was kind of ugly. It looked a tiny bit like him as well. I think he actually chose it for that reason. So it was like a really big one. Okay. And what I did when I found out that he cheated on me, I actually went outside and I broke it. And I'm not this kind of violent person, but I really got so much out of that. Like, and I mean, I have never done this before. Like, I don't break glasses. I don't throw stuff when I'm angry. I don't like smash windows or slam doors. I don't do that. But that was like a very nice release of anger, you know. And the other thing that I find is really useful, okay, is to change your state by doing something that has some sort of adrenaline in it. So for example, you go like zip lining or like hiking or something that is like you're doing like a really fast walk. I mean, dancing, you probably cannot get yourself dancing, but something that has like a lot of adrenaline. What did you say? Sorry?
I said beat on some drums.
Yeah, so something that is like a lot of, that has some sort of adrenaline can really kind of get you out of a stuck energy.
Get that energy out. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think
probably would recommend driving because you might not be really safe behind the wheel.
Yeah. But for example, I don't like running, but like a fast walk, I can fast walk faster than anyone that I know. And I'm always up for like exciting adventures. So, I mean, like, I think one really cool thing you could try is doing that. You know, the shooting game where you're like shooting, you know, like with paint.
I think paintball. Yeah.
I have never done this, but think that it would be like a cool thing to try after a funeral, because I think it will kind of get you, your mind off, you know, like whatever it is you're feeling. Just temporarily, even for like an hour, but it could kind of, you know, help you a little bit. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's like think outside the box of whatever's, you know, as weird as it might sound. It's like find those things that's going to help you, whether it's to bring you joy or to release that energy because you have so much, if you have that anger inside of you. But just try to do it in a healthy, harmless way.
Yeah, and I think another thing that could help, I'm just being a tiny bit sarcastic, is like think about all the 100 most annoying things that your husband used to do. And I don't know if that could help, but
And it might. And I think it depends upon the relationship, you know. Because it'd be like, for me, I don't know that I could, I don't think I could come up with 100 things that annoyed me. Definitely there were some, but yeah, there's just like, there's no right or wrong way to grieve, and there's no timeline to it.
I also think you could come up with a lot of different things that used to annoy him that now you can do. For example, if he never
Oh.
was purple, you can wear like a purple sweater and like be like, you know what? Now I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you have long hair because he liked it and you would never and you hated your long hair, you can get your hair cut short again. It doesn't matter.
So I mean, I think everyone has different tools for processing pain.
Yeah.
Tell us where people can connect with you.
Probably the best would be on either Instagram or Facebook. I have my website as well, energizedlifewellness.com. But probably the best place to connect with me is in the DMs on Facebook and Instagram, which are both under my name, Brenda Munt.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Petrescu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever. Shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.